to the good of the nation, but also to the eternal justice. For this is the greatest of many when mindful of God, one who endures sorrows about suffering and justice. For what credit is it if we sin and are beaten for it, you endure it? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure this, it is the greatest thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow what he said, even if it is mostly, not always this is found in his life. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself with the men who judged him justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, and have now returned to the shepherd, and will receive of his souls. Amen. The congregation of the Lord said,
Amen.
Well, my dear friends, God has ordained us to live the Christian life today. With the grace of God, we do this life. You and so you are a pilgrim of the Lord, sojourner and exile of Christ, and you are the people of God today. Now in the time when society is not, you have been called by the Lord to live up in a time when society is not Christian. Whatever the way society is, it's definitely not biblical. It's all Christ-centered society. It is especially dependent upon self. Society feels that many religious, moral, sexual, and ethical principles of the past, and Christian and religious law, all have to be overturned. One, society says that they were filled with inequalities and injustice. Today, the day of our Christian pilgrimage is the day of the outcome of self-expressionism, of woke culture. You are woke culture with the idea that you gave up to stand for individuals, for stopping racism, for stopping sexual discrimination, for stopping inequality for women and children. Today is also the day of cancel culture. This movement is engaged in canceling people, canceling history, canceling society, canceling Christendom. That is, a certain group or a certain school or a certain faith tree asserts that this history or that society is inevitable, so now it's up to us to cancel that. 6 days ago, in response to the issues surrounding the residential schools, protesters talked to the statue of Anderson Ryerson. Now, Anderson Ryerson is a history of our country. He's prominent in England. Of course, he was part of the manager of the residential school, that is true. But cancel culture cancels everything in a person. And so, his statue was toppled in the 6 nations, put the head of that statue on his plate, and California and Missouri. In our time, is a time when people are demanding their rights, justice, self-autonomy, equality, and attend to all self-defined or culturally defined injustices. Now, has there been inequality? There's been child slavery. Christian women, what turns out I mean is great evils. But that's a topic for another time. My point here is showing that our society has made rights, equality, and self-freedom a god. And it has produced inequality, less justice, less civic liberty, more and more sexual abuse, more and more racism, more and more hatred. And you all know the culture at which I'm speaking of, our culture, and the communities, is all over the world. You see, my dog is quality means country or society or people kill God on purpose, designed me, and love their own God more and more than this. But let's not come to the surface. The people in power of my right culture do not know. They are at odds with the words serfs, slaves, masters, suffering from injustice, followers. Do you know what? You know, I read the passage earlier in the book of Colossians. It talks about bond servants, slaves, suffering from their masters and all problems, working for them and working for the Lord. And then the same passage addresses masters of slaves, do what's right. Do you mean by passages like that? The world does seem just as well. But here in this passage, we learn that Christians live a very different life in the world. We live the life described at the end of verse 20 and 21. But if one of you do good and suffer, if you do this, this is the gracious thing on the side of God. The riches we have in the fall, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you can follow in his steps. We are called to follow the steps of Jesus, to suffer even if it is unjust, to submit even if it is unjust, because Christ submitted. Christ suffered unjustly for our redemption. When we are treated unjustly and we respond with respect and honor, then the gospel is true. Now, this is qualified, of course, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But you must set a principle. You must set a message that is set. That when we are treated unjustly and we respond with respect and honor, God is glorified in the gospel of Christ and we follow him in the steps of Jesus. Now, the text addresses service. The word that's used here is for household servants or household slaves, people who do the cooking, from the stewards of a household, the gardening, and so on. In Peter's day, they were slaves, not chattel slaves, nor slaves based on race and U.S. Slavery, but slaves nonetheless. They were not free, and they were not equal to their own citizen. And today, in the writing of Wyatt's passage to Christian employees, or tenants who rent with someone, or students who are under a professor, that is, people who in one way or another are tied to or under a person in authority. And what we find is that Peter addresses all Christians in their situation when they're under an authority. For instance, the servants, verse 18, becomes one, that is, Christian, in verse 19. And the servant in verse 21, where we read, you, that is, you Christian, have been called now addresses us all. So since all of us are servants to earthly masters in certain contexts, all of us today can apply this passage to our lives and live as God. 100 is somewhere else. What is the teaching? And if Christian people are to live out, you're to live a godly solution, honoring and respecting our employers or those over us, even when we are mistreated. God's call for us is to set our under condition and endure suffering. So, the first point this morning as we study this passage is the scope of our service, the scope of our solution to go forward. We, as Christian people, are to be in submission to the good masters, to employers, foreigners, supervisors, landlords, professors who are good, that is, who are good natured and kind. We're also to submit to those good masters who are gentle. You work with them of your case, who are forbearing and long suffering. We all like those kinds of employers. People who give us a smile, people who say kind words for us, and then when we can't stay there, it's so okay. They come up to us, they teach us how to do the work again, and they're very pleased to do it. But this is good for those masters and those. But we are to be in submission also to be unjust and cruel. It says at the end of verse 16, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. That's the scope of our submission. We not only submit ourselves to good employers, but unjust ones too. But wait, shouldn't we stop unjust dealings and seek to address wrongs? Generally, yes. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says to us as the church of Christ, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God? But then why does God say that the scope of our submission includes unjust masters too? Well, remember, when you heard this passage, you're involved in real estate, that what really matters in real estate is location, location, location. Well, here in this passage, what really matters is situation, situation, situation. You see, slavery in the first century was an enormous establishment. The whole Roman economy depended upon slavery. The Pax Romana depended upon it as well. And all the apostles who wrote in the New Testament knew that it would not change soon. That was the culture of Rome. So instead of stirring up Christian slaves to rebel and disrupt society, here God encouraged the Christians to live like Jesus in the midst of that society. Even Jesus who lived in the midst of society, honoring the government, honoring the culture, you nevertheless suffer those lessons. You see, about 80 years before Peter's letter, the slave revolt under Spartacus sent shockwaves through the Roman Empire. Peter said to the church, live by Jesus, not Spartacus. Peter knew these Christians wanted God and Christ to be glorified more than personal freedom. So he called on them to submit even to unjust suffering. For Christ himself did this. And this is the way to break the world's ways and bring in the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness. And so, my friends, it's so important to submission because we are using the good and the unjust. And that's the second thing. The way that we are to submit. Is our submission to the world? Were these household slaves simply to let unjust masters make them sin against God and walk out of the world? No. Being in Christ, our submission, as we learned last Lord's Day when we talked about the civil government, being in Christ, our submission is always to God ultimately first. So these slaves, through Peter was writing, and you and me, will not submit to sexual abuse from our boss, or in our workplace, or in our home, or from a family member, or an uncle who's over us, or whatever it may be. We will not submit to that because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have to come to the Lord that we will use our bodies properly, and so we will not submit to it. So, the restaurant owner has to see the other ladies who dress in a risque dress as they wait on the table. No. Also, you and I, Christians, we will not partake of sealing or lying if our employer asks us to seal or to lie. We will not break anything. The God is our master. We are able to release those. We will get to the church. We will also not worship the false God of our employer or our professor or anyone who is over us. We will not bow to any other God. We would rather be martyrs, suffering for doing good. But nevertheless, we are to be willing to suffer wrong, to submit, when they do not ask us to do so wrong. In what way are we to submit? With all respect, as the Bible says in verse 18, and this means that we are God. When we hear God, we will also respect those who are going to be over us in the office. Our employer, our teacher, or someone else who's over us, we will see them as we hear God, as people made in God's image. And we will put ourselves under them in reverence and honor our Father and our Mother. In the way that we can, we will respect them and hear them. And one way else will we submit to them? Well, as the text says in verse 19 and verse 20, being mindful of God and also in the sight of God. This is the way that we will be subject to our masters, even to our just masters. Being mindful of God in the sight of God. And this means that we will submit being conscious that God's presence is with us. When we are unjustly mistreated, you are not. Two neighbors who are going out to work the world, work in a world where experience is not the cost. That when you and I are unjustly treated, we are tempted to live the opposite of how I love Jesus. But when Jesus was unjustly treated, he did not stretch the truth, he did not rely on others, he did not seek revenge or fighting. But we are tempted to do the same thing. We are all. Well, be mindful of God. Giving your services unto God. Be mindful of His word that He would have. Jesus Himself was mindful of His Father's presence within His incarnation and suffering. This helps us to endure the suffering. So be mindful of God, your Creator, and He will judge, and He will judge all who are wrong. Another way to submit is with patience. Because that's the most trying thing we can do. What is the word of the Lord? We endure the sorrow, the struggle, the embarrassment. Our goal is the glory of God and the spread of the gospel, not self. And so we go on showing love, we go on showing respect, even during those times of injustice and injustice. Our focus as Christians is not to concentrate on my rights, on my goals. See, if you and I concentrate on me, my rights, what the kind of ways that I think that I deserve, the way that I think I should be treated, and And your life is so dependent on yourself. In your work, in your school, or if you live this kind of life, you will become confused and angry. And this is what we're seeing in our society. People filled with confusion and poverty, anger. They're focused on themselves. The power of focus is different. Our focus is strong and doing good. As well as the labor and the development of our children into me. This concentration today on the rights of individual souls uncovered by a single purpose to pursue your personal thing and to concentrate on your own self-realization cannot be found in your life. The Bible does present us with many wonders that fulfill the people. The fact that fulfillment was not produced by emphasize the importance of self-actualization, of freedom from constraints, or of the injustice of continuing human institutions or customs. No, these happy people, these happy world people, these Christians, found their life by losing Christ for Jesus' sake and seeking His same rights and His will. Yes, our life in the gospel is a life of submission because we as Christians have one common goal. And that is not self. That is the glory of God and the good of others. And so we submit in the fear of God, mindful of God, patiently willing to endure unjust suffering in the culture in which we live. And this brings me to the third point. And that is the result of our submission. What's the result of our submitting under those over us and suffering for the wars and killing in times of injustice? First, because God will reward us. If a slave suffers because of his or her sin, if you as a Christian are criticized at work or are rebuked by your manager or your overseer due to your faith, or due to you not caring, or due to your failure to learn, well, you will earn the reward of criticism and rebuke. However, if you are mindful of God, if you work hardly as unto the Lord, not as the Lord, and have a professional appearance, and get your work done on time and done well, but then your supervisor continually uses you as a butt for their jokes, or discriminates against you, or credits others with your work, or passes over you, or promotes you simply because of your Christian faith, well, that is unjust suffering. Well, this is a gracious thing to celebrate. That's what the Bible says. This is a gracious thing to celebrate. Because you do not get your just credit or honor beforehand, but you will receive your just reward before God. God does not forget the good works of you do in His name. And God will reward the faithful. But there are other rewards that come out of this passage too. The other reward is this, that God is glorified. And this is a gracious thing. That phrase is used twice in this passage. This is a gracious thing. Yes, when we do good works and we show forth the light of God, people see God's great eye of gospel workings. They have before them a picture of God, a picture of the Lord's grace, and then they can, by the will of the Lord, glorify God. You mentioned we're all about the worship, honor, and glory of God. All that we do. We wrote that earlier in Colossians. That whether our hands, or our minds, or our mouth, or our bodies, find truth, we belong to the glory of God. And that gives you the end tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, part two. We go through our ultimate for the glory of God. And as we Christians, remember that all find the good in society, the works of pleasure and of holiness and sobriety and temperance and peace and love in society. In other words, when we live this thing, living in a work which is the glory of God, Christ Himself through us comes into that work. See, glorify God with gracious. This is the reward of God. But there's another reward for us in this. We are witnesses to the power of the gospel. And we simply pay for our trust to serve God and not serve Him. This is a gracious thing to do. If you sometimes don't say, well, you should have a golden opportunity to show love, to do good deeds, and especially show the power of Christ. Namely, that we are fleeing in Him, fleeing Jesus from vengeance, from retaliation, from selfish narcissism, fleeing from criticizing our employer or speaking ill about our supervisor. We are free from sin in the Lord Jesus. We deliver the word of God without a cause. We're doing good. We came wrong. We're targeted. We're being Christians. But will we respond in kind? Will we, the pilgrims of the Lord, return evil for evil? No. God brings in a very conviction and brings the change of evil and power of the Lord. By our deeds. We bear witness to the power of good over evil. This is opposite to what society is doing. It's opposite in your own heart sometimes, your own thought. Because you think if you yell loud, if you say people to the Lord, if you criticize, you will have more power. And you will be able to rest. This is the foundation of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there is a place for civil disobedience. There is a place for rightful goals and campaigns to address sin. But they must have at their center place his cross, his resurrection. Sin and evil are not overcome by Christ's policies or Christ's protests. And the daylight hour, when society itself has fallen, nothing will be able to open up a new way of thinking, Christian way of thinking, than preaching Christ crucified and risen. And Christ is powerfully preached when we suffer unjustly, even for good. Christ's gospel is preached and further than we walk in his sin. This is a gracious gift. You see, Jesus is the paradigm for our solution. He said, love me, you take up your cross, follow me. He took up the cross, and we are saved. He committed no sin. Not a resistant foundation. He was allowed to come to our lives. He did not suffer. He did not go. He continued to come to the cross. He did not suffer. He made up for our sins in the far long that we will not be sin and live for. While his name, you have been healed. You know, once Peter had to go to Jesus, no, you cannot suffer. You must not suffer unjustly. He was tired of the time. And Jesus said to him, get me behind you, Satan, for you say to the things that be a man and not a thing of you. If anyone would want to love him, if he loves you, he will. And then the Lord restored him. The Lord continued to restore you and me. And now our apostle Peter teaches us that as Christ suffers, so likewise are we called to suffer, even when it is unjust. To be a Canadian today is to be anxious that life gives me all my dreams and desires for. To be a Canadian today is to be angry at and doubtful of all of them. And it is to low biblical decision. But my dear friends, we are children. We are citizens of heaven. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven of all our sins. We are saved. And upon the gospel to us and to our children, here we are, baptized God's people. To us, as Christians in Canada, we are not the people. We are not the people. We love the people. And we are not focused on ourselves. Our hopes will come and others can come to us. This is our Lord. This passage is for us. So may you apply this passage to your life. How many needs and others, even if you are calling to your life, and so fulfill the law of Christ? But here in this passage, we have.